tonight's shiur is dedicated to Zecha Nishmas Reb Chaim Reb Avraham Hirsch of Yisrael, who was one of the founders of the shiur many, many years ago. And also Zecha Nishmas Yossi Itzkowitz, who sits in the first row in the shiur every week, just lost his wife, and he's still sitting shiva. So we dedicate it to Zecha Nishmas as well. We say in the Haggadah, and all the Mepharshim ask, what would have been so wonderful if you're in front of Hasina, but you don't receive the Torah? So what do you gain from being in front of Hasina? So different suggestions are given to understand what that line means. So one of the more popular interpretations is, if the Rebbeinu Shlom would have given us Maimon Har Sinai with the Aseres Adibus, with the whole Torah, the Loi Nasan Lana Satara, but he wouldn't give it to us by Matana. We say in the davening and the Kiddush that Yom Chag HaShavuot says, Man Matan Torah Seinu, the Rebbeinu Shlom gave us the Torah by Matana. Matana means that we're the Balabatim now. He's no longer Balabas. The Gemara says that the Me'ev L'Shal Moshe, many halachas, thousands of halachas were forgotten because of the aggravation of Klal Yisrael. And then they asked Yeshua ben Nun, he should try to get Benavua, what the missing halachas were. And he said, you're not allowed to, lo b'shamayim hi. The Rebbeinu Shlom, once the Torah was given to Bnei Yisrael Har Sinai, he can no longer work out the dinim based on Nevua, Ruach HaKodesh. You have to, the Chacham have to work it out. So they had Osniel ben Knaz, Hechziran b'pil pulay. He figured out, based on the Midrash HaTorah and Midrashes then, and based on Mamatzinus, he figured out what the missing dinim were. There is a famous Gemara in Bob Mitzian, Daf Pevov and Aleph, where the Gemara says that Rabba Banach Meini, the famous Rabba, was a big expert in the Goyim and Aholos. And on one occasion, there was a big machlokes in heaven between the Rabbeinu Shel Olam and the Bezal Shalmaila. What's the din if a person has a nega tzaras? So first, you have First, he's a matzora muzgar for 7 days, and then if he develops a simen tuma, either pisoyon, the nega gets bigger. However, it was in the beginning that it kept on getting bigger, 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 but he didn't go to the kohen. So when you go to the kohen is mazgeres hanega. So then, at the end of 7 days. Could be in the middle of the 7 days, it got bigger, got smaller, got bigger, got smaller. We don't care what happened in the middle. At the end of the 7 days, if it's bigger than it was at the beginning of the 7 days, that's called Pisoyan, Pasa Hanega, so the kain is machlit that it's stomach. And or if you have Pasa Chai, you have Michya in the middle of your Nega Tzaras, Pasa Chai Paseis, also Simen Tumen. And if you have Seir Banega, Hapach Loban, and Shtei Cyrus in the middle of the Nega, turn white, it's also Simen Tumen. So the Mishnais have the din that the Seir Lovin is only a Simen Tumah if the Seir Lovin at the Shtei Cyrus turned white after the Bahar is developed. But at first you had the hair on the skin turn white. And after the Seir turned white, then it developed the Negat Saras. It was Kodma Seir Lovin, the Baharis. Then it's not a Simen Tumah. So what's the din if you have a Sufik? You're not sure. You don't remember. The Seir Lovan preceded Tzaras, so the Beharis preceded the Seir Lovan. So the Gemara said that was a machlekes. The Bezon Shamayla said, Zifted the Rikia, said Tomek. And the Rabbanu Shalom said Tohar. But Loi Bashamaimi, so we can't, it doesn't matter what the Rabbanu Shalom says, it doesn't matter what the Zifted the Rikia says. So they said they're going to have to ask one of the world's biggest experts, Rabbi. Rabbi Banachmeni was an expert in the Goyim Baholis. So they asked him. So the Gemara tells the story. He was mamish on his deathbed. He was holding before he was in Kesisa. And they asked him, what's the din? So he said, Tohar. B'yotzis ha'nishmasa b'tara. That's the last thing that he said, that the nega is Tohar. He said, like the Rabban Shalom, the nega is Tohar. So you look in the Rambam passed his tummy, because in the Mishnah, it's a machloikis yochid b'rabim halacha k'rabim. So he passed on that. It's a stam Mishnah like that. If it's the suffix, whether the Seir Lovan preceded or the Beharis preceded, so the Rambam paskens that it's Tamei Misafik. It's not Tamei Vandai, it's Tamei Misafik. the Rikesh Mishnah is Babid with a Kasha. How can the Rambam paskin against the Rabbanu Shel Olam? The Rabbanu Shel Olam said Tahar. So he says, the Rikesh Mishnah says, Fafam, lo bashamayimi. That's what the Gemara said. That's why they want to ask Rabbi Bar Nachmeni, Rabbi. But the Rambam doesn't pass like Rabbi either, because Rabbi said on his deathbed, he said Tahar. So if the Rabbi is supposed to be the world's greatest expert among the human beings, so why didn't the Rambam paskin Tahar? So the Rikesh Mishnah says, since he has one foot out there already, he was in the middle of Gesis, he was holding by dying. So it's also, he's not, it's loy bashamayim, he's half bashamayim and half ba'aretz. Gesis al pidin, Goises, the Rambam in Pirish HaMishnayis and Aholos, and Beragalov writes, that what's the definition of Goises? We're not sure exactly when Gesis begins. There are certain dinim that depend on when a person is a Goises. But so we're not sure exactly. Rav Moshe has a tshuva. It's a little unclear when Gesisa begins. But al pi din, what is the concept of Gesisa? How come dinim changed? So the Rambam, the way those of us who don't know Arabic, so we have to use the translation in Hebrew of the Pirush HaMishnayis LaRambam, was written originally in Arabic. So in the Hebrew translation, it says that death is a process. It's a tahalich, tahalich hamavis. When the process begins, that's called Gesisa. So that's the question of Pidin. When is the beginning of the process? So that's what the Kesh Mishnah says. Apparently, Rabbah, at the time that they asked him, the Gemara says, Mam, she was holding by Gesisa. They asked him, the Din, Safik, Zakadim, Safik, Zakadim. He said, Tahob, Yotzin, Ishmasu, Betahar. That's the last thing that he said before he passed away. So since he was holding by the end, that's also called Lo Bashamayimi. A person who's a Bas of Adam has the ability to paskin shadas. A person who's half fear, half b'olam hazeh, half b'shamayim, half somewhere else, is also loy b'shamayim. We can't follow what he says. The Chidor quotes, we have a sheet of mukubetzas on Subis and Baba Kama, Baba Mitzia, Baba Basra. Then we have a sheet of mukubetzas on Chulin, also from Rabbi Tzal Ashkenazi, and then we have on Midorim and Nozir. We have in a few mesichtas. So the Chidor, who lived in the 1700s, Chaim Yosef David Azalai, Chidor had access to a lot of Swam. He was a mishulach for the yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. And he always used to go traveling around from city to city to raise money, send all the money to Eretz Yisrael. And then when he would travel around, if he would see a government library or something, so he would always take a look to see what kisvei yad they had. And whenever there was something fascinating that he never heard of before, like all the meiris, now we have all the meiris are printed. But then there were all the manuscripts, and whenever he would look through all the meiris quickly, and he found something very fascinating, he would copy it down. And before all the meiris were printed in the last century, so he used to quote, Chidor would quote a lot from the meiris. So he quote, so the Chidor quotes from Mishitun Kobetz and Sangitin, that the Gemara says that there were Amoraim who used to speak to Eliyahu HaNavi. So the Sheet Mukubetzis is bothered with Akasha. Every so often the Gemara has an Ibaya and the Gemara will say Teku. So how do you translate Teku? So the real translation is, you have a Safik and we Teku, we leave it there. Like Menichem et HaSafik Bimkoma. We don't know how to be Machriya. But people usually say that Teku, apparently in the days of the Sheet Mukubetzis already, people used to say Teku is the Rosh Hiteves, Tishbi, Yataritz Kusha, Svabayas. Eliyahu HaNavi, Eliyahu HaTishbi will come. When he comes, he'll answer all the Ibayas. This is, we know it's incorrect. That's not what the word Teiku means. Teiku is a word. Teiku means you leave it there. And the Gemara never says Teiku after Akasha. Teiku is only after an Ibaya. An Ibaya means, I'm not sure what the din is. Is it A or B? So they'll say sometimes Teiku. They throw up their hands and they surrender. They don't know what the answer is. One never says Teiku after Akasha. Sometimes one will say Akasha, and they'll say Akasha. We don't have a good teretz. Sometimes we say Tiufta, sometimes we say Akasha. They'll never say Teiku after Akasha. So it's not correct to say that Teiku is a Rosh Hiteves Tishbi, Taretz Kushin Abayis. But apparently already in the days of the Rishonim, people would say like that. Rav Gavala Soloveitchik used to say that this was what the Malamdim used to tell the children in order to be Mechazik V'Yamunah and Bios HaMashiach. But before Mashiach comes, Eliyahu HaNavi will come. That's how it says in the Navi. In Echa Shalech Lachem Yisrael, Eliyahu HaNavi lifnei Yom HaShem HaGoro V'Anoira. So the Gemara in Erevin understands that Eliyahu HaNavi will come, Lifnei Bayom HaShem, the day before Bias HaMashiach, he will appear, Eliyahu HaNavi will appear in front of the Sanhedrin, and he will notify them that tomorrow Mashiach will appear, and he tells them who Mashiach, he will identify who Mashiach is. So the Brisker Rav said that the reason why the Malamdim used to say Tishbi Taris Kushiv Abayis Teku, in Bias HaMashiach. So the Shita Mekubetz is there in Gitman, the first paragraph asks, there were Amorim who had Gili Eliyahu. Eliyahu used to come visit in Yeshiva and talk and learning. We have Tana de Eliyahu, things that supposedly Eliyahu Navi told the Amorim. So why do you say we should wait till Eliyahu Navi comes, teach B'taras Kushav Abbas, as Eliyahu Navi at Kunin will ask him all the Shalom? Why didn't they ask him? Here he is. He used to come visit in Yeshiva. So every time they had a taker, why didn't they ask him? So the Shita Mekubetz's answer is when Eliyahu HaNavi appears now, he appears as an angel, as a malach, because his body went up into heaven in a fiery chariot. The story is related in Sefer Melachim. So right now he's in the form of an angel. Oh, when Eliyahu HaNavi comes by a bris, there's such a medrash, because Eliyahu HaNavi was angry at Bnei Yisrael during the lifetime of Achav HaRasha. And he said, Bnei Yisrael has that the Jewish people violate Bris Milah. So the Medrash says, the Rabban Shalom said, it's not true, the Jewish people still observe Bris Milah, and I'm going to punish you, I'm going to see to it that you should attend every single Bris, you have to attend every single Bris, and you're going to give me a report about the Bris. We assume Eliyahu HaNavi comes to the Bris. Invisible, he comes as a malach. How can he come? It's a chutz l'tchum. He comes as a malach, that's not a problem. So the Shita Mekubetz says, a question, why do we have to wait till Eliyahu HaNavi comes before Mashiach to ask him all the shailas, all the teku shailas? Why don't we ask him now? The Amorim is to speak to Eliyahu HaNavi. So the answer, Eliyahu HaNavi now appears as a Navi, not as a human being. As a Malach, not as a human being. And a Malach is Lo Bashamayim. The Malach can't tell us what the Hachros Psak Halacha is. When Eliyahu HaNavi will come the day before Bias HaMashiach, he'll come as a human being. He'll be back in the form of a human being. So then he'll be back as a human being. Fine. So then he'll have the ability, they write the Pasuk and the Shaila, and we'll listen to what he has to say at that time. So it's interesting, this whole concept of Lo Bashamayim here, the Torah was given to Bnei Yisrael, and Bnei Yisrael have to figure out what the dinim are. How did Bnei Yisrael figure out what's the method? So we have the Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah and the Reshes Pam. What's with these Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah? What is it all about? So there are quite a few Midrashim, Rav Chaim Volozhin and the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim quotes quite a few Marmekaimis, and there are more, where the Midrash has an expression, Kol Masha Talmud Vasik Vasid Lachadish, Namalol L'Moshe Misina. Every single good Svar. Sometimes people say they print Svarim that are all Dvarim B'Telem. It's a garbage. So that was not necessarily said to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai. But Masha Talmud Vasek Kasa L'Chadish, if a good Talmud Vasek comes up with a good Chiddush, a nice Gehalt and a Chiddush, we assume that was told to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai. There's a Sefer Tzoyis HaChoshen, on Choshen Mishpat. So the author lived in the early 1800s, the late 1700s, early 1800s. So he writes in his introduction, maybe everything I wrote is Dvarim B'Telem. Who says that what I say is a Talmud Vasik? Maybe it's all ridiculous. So he says he doesn't think so, because a lot of times he said suggestions, he came up with svaras, then he found that it says it in the Rishonim. So if the Rishonim say it, so it means that he's going on the right path. So he thinks that a lot of things that he has to say are Bebchinas Talmud Vasik, Asay L'Charish. So that's a question, exactly how do you understand that Lashon and the Medrash, Kol Masha Talmud Vasik, also, lechadish, any chiddush that a good Talmud comes up with, Asnil ben Knaz came up with all of these halachas that were forgotten, the thousands of halachas that were forgotten, the may Evelush al Moshe. And then he came up with it, Bipil Pula, means he was using the Midrash HaTorah and Reshes Pam to restore all of these forgotten dinim. So, what does that mean? Kol Masha Talmud Vasik Vasik Lechadish Pam al Moshe. So, the Rambam in the Hakdamah to his Pirish HaMishnayis has a dispute with the Gaonim. What that's all about. What is the source of machloikas? So the Gaonim are of the opinion that you take the Medrash literally, every single din in the Shulchan Aruch, any din that's correct, was told to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai. So what are the, and every single thing we have a tradition on. So what are all the Midrashot and the Dreshes Bam all about? What do you need? The Klal Prat, Prat the Klal Prat. Everything, Binyan Av, and so on. So the Goyim are of the opinion that's only to check your tradition to make sure that it's correct. But if you have no tradition, you're going to use the Midrashot and the Dreshes Bam on your own to come up with a new din that was that you have no tradition on. That's not what Midrashot and the Dreshes Bam are all about. It's only to check your Masora, whether your Masora is accurate or not. So what's the source of every Machlokes? Every Machlokes is based on Shikha. They forgot. They forgot the din, because every single din was told to Moshe Ben HaSinai, and there's a tradition on everything, and every Machlokes is an indication of Shikha. They forgot the din. The Rambam is very hurt with that idea. He says, how can it be the most precious thing that the Jewish people has is the Torah, and they forgot everything? And every page in the Gemara, there's a machlokes. The Rishonim point out that why did they pick the minigas that you recite Zeh Mekayman in the morning? How come we pick from all the Mishnayos? Why do we only say Perek Zeh Mekayman? So they say that's the only Perek in Mishnayos that doesn't mention any machlokes. There are machlokes in regarding Zeh Mekayman also in the Gemara, but in the Mishnah doesn't record any machlokes. Every other Perek in Shas has, even in Pirkei Avos, there are machlokes in the Mishnah also. So the Rambam thinks that that's not correct. Whatever was a tradition, whatever is halacha l'moshe misina, they have a clear-cut tradition on. There's no room for machlokes, unless they forgot. So once in a long while they forgot, but you couldn't have machlokes on every page in Shas. That's not shayach. And the reason where there's machlokes is because they didn't have tradition what the din is. New shayla came up. What's the din of Yishol Amidas? Abai held like this and Rabbi held like that. And they had a machlekes for years and years and years, and then they finally came to a consensus. They voted on it, and a later generation, they decided how to pass on halacha. But it's not that every single din had a tradition. I said, what does it mean in the Lashon, kol ma'ashutam e'gasa gasa l'chadosh ne'amalo l'moshe m'sinai? So what it means is, the Rambam doesn't explain, but the Rambam probably understood that Lashon to mean, Moshe Rabbeinu was given the text of the Chumash, and it was given the Midrashot Torah and the Dreshes Bam. So if you apply intelligently the Midrashot Torah and the Dreshes Bam to the Psukim, so included in what was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, contained in what he received, is the method, the approach of how to figure out all the missing dinim. But it's not that every single din was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Pashtus is that over the years, the Rambam's opinion was the accepted opinion. Over the years, the Beis Din in every generation would come up with new chidushim that were unheard of in earlier generations. Whatever was halacha l'moshe m'sinai, whatever they had a tradition on, that there's no room for machlokes. Whatever, there was no tradition. So one who's a Talmud Shehigia Lo Hayro is entitled to express his opinion, to explain what he thinks the din is. Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch, Zichron Lebracha, had a student, Gratz. And the Gratz didn't remain Orthodox, and then he wrote books on Jewish history, wrote a lot on Jewish history. So part of what he writes is that the Torah Shebaal Peh was invented by the Tanoim. It's not Ben HaShemayim who's invented. So Rabbi Hirsch has a lot of polemic attacking a lot of what Gratz had to say. And he takes the extreme position, he goes all the way to the other degree, the opposite degree. And he takes the position of the Goyim, that every single din was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. And all the Midrashot Torah and the Dreshes Bam are just a method, not a method of deriving new dinim, but a method of checking whether your tradition is accurate or not. If it's always gehalten according to the Midras, so then you can assume your tradition is correct. But if you have no tradition, you cannot employ the Midrashot Torah and the Dreshes Bam to come up with a new din. So again, that's the Pashtus, is that's not the accepted opinion, not like Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch said, and not like the Goyim. It's accepted like the Rambam, that the Beis Din in every generation has the right to look into the Torah and to come up with chidushim. That's how the Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchos Mamrim, that the Beis Din says, "Vasal shefet hashiyeh b'yamim mahem." You should go to the Dayanim in your generation, go to the Chachmei HaTorah in your generation, and follow the psak that they give you. So the Gemara asks, "Chisal kataitach?" You go to the cemetery. You go ask somebody who passed away already. They're not going to give an answer. So of course, if Vasal HaShefet HaShiyah B'yamim Mahen, let it just write, if Vasal HaShefet, come to the Dayanim and they'll pass him. So no, so the Gemara said, what it means is, Chaim Ariza printed Svarim. I have Svarim from the Vilna Gaon. We know what they said, and we know what the Shach said. We know what the Rabbi Behuda said, and the Chassam Sofer said. And a Chacham in our generation has the right to disagree, and we're supposed to listen to the Talmid Chachamim of our generation. You have to go to the Chachamim in your generation. I, the Gemara, has a cloud. Ain bezn yochel about the dibur bezn chaver can go to hamen of the chachma of the minyan. You only have a right to disagree with the earlier generations if you have a greater number of chachamim voting on this issue, or greater. You have to be greater bechachma ube minyan. Both. You have to have a bigger number of rabbanim and bigger scholars. How can the Rambam say that everyone's entitled to his own opinion in every generation? So the Rambam quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi. The other Rishonim also quote. It's not only the Rambam, the Tosfos and Rosh Hashanah, and Rav Tez quotes it, and all the Rishonim on the opening Mishnah in Masechet Shviyos. The Rash and the Rosh, they all quote the Talmud Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi asked the question, in the days of Beishamai Bishilol, Hillel and Shammai, Hillel was the chief rabbi 100 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni, and Shammai was the Abbezin, he was the assistant chief rabbi. And they had Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel before the Churban HaBayis, and after, years after they passed away, they were 100 years before the Churban HaBayis, but the Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel continued to exist even after the Churban HaBayis. So the Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel instituted a din of Tosefes Shviyos. You have to be Moisei Mecholah LaKodesh before Shemitah enters. You have to already stop doing Avodas HaKarka from Pesach, from Shavuos, a couple of months before it comes Tishrei of Shnas HaShemitah. And then the Mishnah says that Rabbi Gamliel did away with the whole thing. After the Churban HaBayis, Rabbi Gamliel did away with the whole din of Tosefes Shviyos. So Yishalmi asks, how can he do that? Did he think he's greater than the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel? Ain bezn yochel lavak, the bezn chaverim, ken gadol men b'chokhm of the minyan. The Yishalmi answers, ain bezn yochel lavak only applies in a restricted case. If an earlier bezn made a takana or a gzera, the later Bezin wants to repeal the Takana of the Gzera. So they have to be greater B'chachma the Minyan. But if the earlier Bezin didn't make a Takana, the Rabbanon, or Gzera, the Rabbanon, they're saying, we look in the Chumash and we darshan the Psukim like this. The later Bezin thinks that we darshan the Psukim differently. So then there is no rule. Ain't Bezin yachol about the Libri Bezin Achver. The din doesn't apply. Then the other din applies. Ain't the Chayel Hashef, it should be a Mecha. Each Tamar Chacham is entitled to his opinion, provided that is Higiyah Lo Hayroah. A lot of times, Tamir Chachamim are not Higiyah Lo Hayroah. That's a difficult decision that Rabbanim have to make. When are they really Higiyah Lo Hayroah? And every generation, there were people who thought that they're God's gift to humanity, and they published Shalos HaTshuvos, and they just Dvar B'Tehillim U'Mutol. They have garbage from the days of the Balei HaTesis. They have ridiculous things written, kashas and tirutzim and shuvas and sokim and dvarim b'telem against psukim and chumash and against mishnayis. They also had talmidim shelo higiyah lo hayroah. It's not something new in our generation. Every generation you have like this. That's what Rabbi Moshe Feinstein in his shuvas very often would disagree with the Chassam Sofer, with the Nadi Behuda, and with the Shach, and with the Bi'ur Agro. A lot of times he disagrees. So there was a prominent Talmid Chacham years ago, about 50 years ago, who wrote a whole book, Mana Le'Igoris, a response to the Igoris Moshe, and he disagrees with a lot that Rabbi Moshe Feinstein wrote. He was a big Talmid Chacham, he has some strong tainus, and one of the tainus that he has is, how can Rabbi Moshe Feinstein say that? How can he disagree with the Shach and the Chassam Sofer and the Rebbe Yehuda? Does he think that he's greater than the Nadi Behuda? Does he think he's greater than the Chassam Sofer? You have to be Gadol B'Chachma the Minyan. So Moshe felt very hurt when that Sefer came out. He accused Rav Moshe of being a Baal Gaiva. Those who remember Rav Moshe, he was unusually, extremely humble in a ridiculous fashion. He was extremely humble. But so he felt very hurt. So he said, what his response was, I don't know if I'm Higir or Ira. I don't know if I'm entitled to an opinion, period. But people keep on pressuring me, Rabbanim, Talmid Chacham pressure me, they want to know my opinion. They tell me I am a Higiyah Lo Hayroah. So if I'm entitled to an opinion, then I'm a chuyav, I'm obligated to give my honest and honest opinion, even if it's in disagreement with those who are greater b'chokhma v'minyan. He has the obligation to disagree. If he thinks not like the Nadi Behuda, not like the Chassam Sofer, he has the obligation to disagree. And that Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchas Mamrim, when the Rambam quotes that Yerushalmi, the Rambam didn't invent it. Yerushalmi says, when you're talking about Dinam Deraisa, the rule of the Gadol B'chachma Minyan doesn't apply. Only if the later Bezin wants to repeal the rabbinic enactment that was instituted by an earlier Bezin, then you need Gadol B'chachma Minyan. But to disagree, Pshat and the Chumash is Ein Lecha L'Shefet Shev Yamecha, Yiftach B'dara Kishmul B'dara Sa B'Keset Mishnah, there asks Akasha, that the Gemara often has Akasha against the Namar. How can the Namar say this? There's a Beferish Abraisa that says not so. There's a Beferish Mishnah that says not so. Usually you can't have a Mishnah against an Amora. Amoraim knew all the Mishnahs. They didn't know all the Braises. That's impossible. But to be an Amora, you have to know all the Mishnahs. Once in a long while, the Gemara will have Akasha against an Amora from a Mishnah, and they'll say to Yufta. So the Balei HaTosis will explain, it's not really a Tuyufta. There's a simple way to answer the Kasha, but the Gemara held that that's a Doichik. The Teretz is a Doichik, and the Gemara held that we don't pass them like that Amor. But a lot of times, sometimes the Gemara will say Kasha, something Gemara will say Tuyufta. Kasha means there's a good Teretz, we're not going to spend time explaining it. Tuyufta means we hold that it's a very good Kasha. So the Kesem Mishnah is bothered with the question, if the Rambam is right, the Rambam is quoting the Yerushalmi, that the best in every generation is entitled to express their honest-to-goodness opinion, even if it's a disagreement with the Bati Dinim who preceded them, who are greater B'chachma B'minyan. So how does the Gemara make it to Yufta against an Amora, because the Tanoim say not so? Ein L'chol L'shefet Shev Yamecha is entitled to disagree with the Tanoim. So the Kesem Mishnah says, Anachinami, Al Pidin, there is no such halacha, and Amora can't argue with the Tanoim. Amoraim aren't entitled to their opinion just like a Tana. But he says the Amoraim made up their mind if there's an issue, Ashaila. I can see Panim Lakana, Panim Lakana. I can see Tutsdodim. I have a slight and Tias Adas. I think this way makes more sense than the other way. But I can see both Tutsdodim, Panim Lakana, Panim Lakana. And I think a slight and Tias Adas, it's the Ramon Shulchan Aruch writes in Yerudeya. The Talmud Chacham has a right at Paskin, even Lahokil and the Din Deraisa, based on a slight Netiyas Hadas. Even though he doesn't have an absolute Hechrich, he thinks it's more correct this way. He has a right at Paskin, if he's a Gia Lo Ayro. So then the Kesem Mishnah says, if I can see Panim Lakan, I have a slight Netiyas Hadas. Then they notify me that all the Tanoim disagree. So then the Amoraim would give in. They say, okay, I can see the other Tzad. And if all the Tanoim say like that, I back out. I'm Chazabi. But if the Amoraim are faced with the Shaila and they say it only makes sense this way, the other way absolutely doesn't make any sense at all. Not that they can see Panim Lakan or Panim Lakan. Only makes sense one direction. Then even if they'll show them that all the Tanoim disagree, they're still going to disagree. The Amoraim have a right to disagree with the Tanoim. That's what there was a famous piece that the Rabbi Chana Vassman once asked Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik. The Gemara will often quote Rab as saying a din, and then the Gemara will say, Rab is in disagreement with all the Tanoim. Rab Tanuhu Apali. The Amaroi never disagreed with Tanoim, but Rab held himself that he was like a Tana. Rab was a student of Rabbi Uranasi, the first generation of Amaroi. So Rab held himself that he was a Tana. He had a right to disagree. So the Taisus in the beginning of Ksubis and the Sugi of Sheva Brachas, Taisus points out from the Gemara, they have a right from the Gemara. The Rabbi Yechanan held that that's not correct, that Rav is Nishkan Tana Upalik. Rav did not have the right to disagree. So Rabbi Chana was bothered with the Kasha. Every time the Gemara says Rav Tana Upalik, we always pass like Rav in disagreement with the Tanoim. But the Gemara has a klal, then whatever this Machlek is Rabbi Yechanan, Halachik Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan holds that Rav didn't have the right to disagree, was Rav is not a Tana Upalik. So if Rabbi Yechanan, Halachik Rabbi Yechanan holds that Rav didn't have the right to disagree, so we should never pass on like Rav when he's Rav Tanahu Pali. So this is what Rabbi Chanan asked Rav Chaim Soloveitchik that Kasha. So he said over to the Talmidim when he gave the Shurim and Baranovich and his issue. So he said, Rav Chaim said, Zol Zayn that Rav is an Amora. He still has a right to disagree. There's no halacha. There is no din that an Amora has no right to disagree with the Tana. That was the attitude that they had. They're not going to disagree with all the Tanoim. If there's a machloikas in the Tanaim, even though the ropes say one direction, the Amora would feel free to say, I hold like the minority opinion in the days of the Tanaim. But if they're going to find unanimity in the days of the Tanaim, then their attitude was, if I can see Panim Lakana, Panim Lakana, I just have a slight Netiyas Hadas in one direction, so then I'm going to give in when I see that all the Tanaim disagree. But the Alpi Din and Amora has a right to disagree with the Tana. So the Machlekes Rav Rav Yechanan. Rav Yechanan holds a Rav Lav Tana, who probably means Rav Yechanan held that it's not right that Rav has such an attitude that he would ignore all the Tanaim. He would feel free to disagree with all the Tanaim. But he does have Alpi Din, he does have the right. It's just a question of an attitude. The Gemara has like that. The Gemara says that the whole period of the Bais Rishon for 420 years, for 410 years of the Bais Rishon, they used to fulfill the mitzvah Misach Hayayin in the Beis Hamikdash in one way. Then there were 70 years of Golus Bavel, and then they built the second Beis Hamikdash. And the Chachamim in the beginning of the Tkufas Bais Sheni darshaned the Psukim differently, and they said, from now on, we're going to do Misach Hayayin differently. And they knew there were people alive. There were people alive who remembered. There were many people alive who remembered the way they did Nisach Hayayin in the Bais Rishon. And they ignored it. They decided they're going to do Nisach Hayayin differently in the Bais Sheni. So the Svasemis and that Gemara and Zvachim, it's around that Samach Aleph or so. So the Svasemis and the Chidushim Al HaShas is bothered with the Kasha. He means to say that for 410 years of the Bais Rishon, they were never yet to the mitzvah of Nisach Hayayin because they did it improperly. So he works very hard. He gets stuck. So he gets a chassidus teretz, a pikabola, chassidus. No, the answer is poshut. Eile v'eile divrei elokim chayim. In every generation, each talmid chacham who's entitled to an opinion, you have to be chacham shehigia l'hayroah. That's the question. If you're higia l'hayroah, but if one is higia l'hayroah, is entitled to his opinion. And so during the Bais Rishon period, they followed Shlomo HaMelech, and they all followed his position how to do nisach hayayin. When it came by Sheni, the Chachamim then had the right to disagree. They're not disagreeing. They're not trying to be oiker, a rabbinic enactment. It's not a rabbinic act. They're darshaning the psukim. Are you supposed to do Nisach Hayayin? So the Chachamim in the second Beis Hamikdash held you do Nisach Hayayin differently. So that's the din. And every generation, the Chachamim have the right to darshan the psukim and to establish the halachas the way they see fit.
What
about we say halacha kibasroi? Right. Halacha kibasroi, that's what's the maskana. The Gemara quotes different opinions in different generations. He said this, and he said this, and he said this. He said, what's the maskana? So we usually assume that until the days of Abai v'Rabbe, the Amoraim were giving ideas, like in yeshivas. Sometimes you have, in the European yeshivas, they used to play down they didn't emphasize at all what's the maskana halacha l'maisa. And in some yeshivas, now that's all they learn. All they learn is psak halacha, psak halacha. They don't. Some yeshivas they only learn kipula shel Torah. Some yeshivas they only learn psak halacha. So you have to have a balance between the two. Are you just learning to be mavar ideas, or you're learning lasuk yishmaitz alibed ilchasim? So the Gaonim had a tradition that until the days of Abai v'Ravid, that's deep into the days of the Amoraim, the assumption was, Ein halacha k'talmid b'makom harav. We would paskan like the Rebbe, not like the Talmud. The Rebbe was closer to the Maimon HaSinai, Rebbe was closer to the Masorah, so it's Ein halacha k'talmid b'makom harav. But from the days of Abai v'Ravid v'Elech, the assumption is, Hilchasa k'basroi. Because after the days of Abai v'Rava, they were more into psak halacha, and they would take into consideration what everybody before them had to say, and they would come up with a maskana. So since they were more into psak halacha, you would say hilchas kebasroi. Abai v'Rava v'elach, hilchas kebasroi. In the earlier generations, the tendency was they weren't so much into psak halacha that they should take into consideration what everybody had to say. Opening up the world of ideas, the developing ideas. And then we say, "En alochi kitamid b'makam harav." The Chidor was a great, we mentioned before, the Chidor was a great Goyen who lived in the 1700s, and he wrote many, many, many Svarim. He wrote over 70 Svarim, I think. So one of his many Svarim is called Simchas HaRegel. It's a Sefer Megillos Rus, very fascinating Sefer. So, we quote an interesting Chris Achronim on the assumption that the basement of every generation has the right to develop the Yiddish Atzmaus Rishus. to come up with it, even between the lines of the psukim, to come up with a din. So let's say a bez din and a later generation comes up with a new din. Do we assume that the din was so from the days of Maimon HaSinai, Avalena? Because they just discovered what the din is. The din was always like this. They read in between the lines and they discovered what the din was. And then it would come out like this, Vasemeseas, that for 410 years in the Bais Rishon, they were never yet to the mitzvah of Nisach Hayayin, because the Beis Din in the beginning of the Bais Sheni period darshan the psukim differently. And it's a gloy muslim and afreya that they always did wrong. Or should we assume, no, that whenever a later Beis Din darshans the psukim differently, the din is only mikana l'abo. Even though the Maimon HaSinai was a few thousand years ago, when a Beis Din comes and they invent a new din derabbanan, the Rosh, the first period in Chulin, has such a comment. Let's say, Gvina Sakum, if all the ingredients were kosher, Sakum used to be kosher. Then it came one fine day, the Beis Din made it zeri, you're not allowed to eat cheese that was processed by the North. So come, let's say a person has it in the refrigerator, Gvina Sakum, that was processed before the Beis Din came out, but the zeri. So does he have to throw it out in the garbage? The Rosh says no. When the Beis Din makes a zeri derabana, it's only noy mikana labo. You can't say it's a gloy muslim, my friend, that Gvina Sakum was always awesome. It wasn't always awesome. They invented a new din derabana. So that's a shaila. What if the Beis Din doctrines with the midrash are turned reshes for him? They come up with a chidush halacha lemaisa on the level of the rice, not a din derabana. That they discovered what the din was. They just uncovered, they discovered what the din was. And this was always a din since Maimon HaSinai. But do you say, no, that the din is only Mikan al-Abo? It's a din, the rice is only Mikan al-Abo. So he quotes a machloikis achreinim about this, beferish. And in the biography of the Chazon Ish, they quote, the Chazon Ish seems to have held the mechudish dika way, that the dinim deraisa, that the Beis Din is mechadish in every generation, those dinim deraisa are only noy Mikan al-Abo. It's not that you say it's a gloy Muslim affair that it was always like that. In addition to the Midrash HaTorah and Reshes Behem, and there are many, the Braisa Rebbe Shmuel Lomer appears in the beginning of the Sifra, the Torah's Kohanim and Vayikra. And the last one, it says, the 13th one, V'chein Shtekzu Matchish Nzeza Hashem Kosev HaShlish V'Echri Ebeneyem. So some of the commentaries think that it shouldn't be V'chein. What's likewise? What is the 13th one, Shtekzu Matchish Nzeza? What does that have to do with the first 12? Bechein. So they say it's a mistake, it should say Bechan. In the opening pasuk in Vayikra, Rashi on Vayikra quotes that there's an issue of Shnei Ksuvim HaMekrishim Zezeh, and Yavah Kosev HaShlishi, Sheachriya Beneim. Where was Moshe Benjamin when he heard the call Hashem? So that's what they correct the gifts, so they think it should say Bechan, Shnei Ksuvim, the opening pasuk in Vayikra. So in addition to Yud Gimel Midrash, Atan the Drashis Tam, there are many more meters. There are more than 13 meters. In addition to all the meters that appear in the Gemara, there's another concept. The Gemara in Chagiga speaks about Malachas Chalamoid. It should have been a Moid Katan. Masechas Moid Katan has all the dinim. Beitz has all the dinim of Yantiv, and Masechas Moid Katan has all the dinim of the miniature Yantiv, all the dinim of Chalamoid. But it's in Chagiga. So the Gemara Chagiga says it's a little unclear in the Pesukim regarding Malachas Chalamoid. So what to do? So the Gemara says, "Lamusar Hakosuf Ela Lachachamim." Torah left it up to the Chachamim to determine what should be Asa, what should be Mutter, and they came up with this whole system of Daba HaAved and Malachas Hedyad and Malachas Zuman and Tzorchei Rabim and the whole story. Oichal Nefesh, Tzorchei Amoid, the whole story of Malachas Chalamoid. So there's a big machlokes in Tosfos and in Shulchan Aruch and the machlokes in Mechabed and Ramah. How do you translate that? Lamasara hakasuv ela lachacham. The Torah left it up to the chachamim to determine what's included in the yisum malachas chalamoid and what's not included. What does that mean? So after the Balei Hatos understood lamasara hakasuv ela lachachamim, the Torah gave the rabbis the right to invent dinim derabbanan. So they invented the whole dinim malachas chalamoid. It's only made the rabbanan. It's not a new category. We have Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah Nidresh Hispam. We have a whole theory Islam. Base Midrash HaTorah Nidresh Hispam. Then we have another thing. It's not a Midah, but the Chacham have the right to establish Dinim Derabbanan. No! Chacham have the right to invent Dinim Derabbanan. Malachas it's Chalamayit, it's only Midirabban. That's how the Mechaber patterns. Malachas Chalamayit is only Asa Midirabban. And the other opinion of Taisa is that Taisa is the last daf in the first parak in Avodah Zarah. The end of the first parak. The Mechaber Ramah, the first simon in Malachas Chalamayit, Chaber writes Malachas Chalamayit is only Asa Midirabban, all the klolim. And the Ramah paskins that it's their eyes. So the other opinion in Taisa is no. No, Mesara HaKos Lelo Chachamim is another sort of one of the Midrash HaTer Nidrashim's Ben. If you have psukim that are vague, and there's no way to use any Midrash HaTer Nidrashim's Ben to determine what's included in the Din and what's not included in the Din, but then the Chachamim have the right to determine whatever they think Sechel dictates, even though there's no Midrash HaTer Nidrashim's Ben. And that Din becomes a Din Deraisa. That's what the Ramah holds like that. The Malachas Chalamayit is a Din Deraisa. There is a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. That traces the end of the first parak in Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says there, the Mishnah has there. The Kusim, in the days of the Tanaim, they had problems with the Kusim. They observed a little bit. They didn't observe fully. They observed Torah Shebichsav. They did not fully observe Torah Shebalpeh. A little they did, a little they didn't. Some things they worried. Some things the Torah Shebalpeh they did follow. Other things they didn't follow. That's why there was a whole dispute whether the Kusim, the original Kusim who are described in Tanakh, in Sefer Melachim, used to worship Avodah Zarah. So their conversion was null and void. There was nothing. There was no Kabbalah on mitzvahs at all. So they were Geri Arayas in the sense that there was no Kabbalah on mitzvahs. They were going Gemurim. But in the days of the Tanaim, they were observing a lot of mitzvahs. So the Tanaim didn't know exactly it was a historical Shaila. Tanaim didn't know where did it come from that they're observing a little bit. Is it that they were Shub Nizgari B'Lev Shalom at some later point in history, all of the Kusim converted a second time? If they converted a second time, the Babylon miss, how come they're not observing all the Torah about that? Then they slacked off. After years, they slacked off and they didn't intermarry and they stayed by themselves. But the whole group of the Kusim slacked off and they didn't observe fully the Torah about that. Should they assume Shuvin is Gar B'Lev Shom, so now they're Geri Hemes, and they're not fully observant? Or should they assume no? The only conversion they had was the original conversion, which was meaningless, because Asalahem, Ayo Ovdim, still worshipped Avodah Zarah. The original conversion never consisted of a Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs. And how come they're observing a lot of mitzvahs by osmosis? A lot of Russian people who moved there to Israel who are not Jewish, and they observe. They eat matzah on Pesach. They observe Shabbos a little bit because everybody takes off from work. So yes, they take off. So they observe a little bit. They picked it up once, but they'll be the first ones to tell you that they're not Jewish. They never converted, and they were born non-Jews, and they're still non-Jews. So that was a big machlekes in the days of the Tanaim, how to deal with the Kusim. The Kusim Ageri Emes or the Kusim Ageri Arayas. So the Gemara says in Masechus Avodah Zarah, if I rent the field to a Kusi, I would be in a violation of Lifnei V'Lisit Mikshol, because they didn't observe the prohibition of Malechus Kalamoyim. By us, some Malechus HaKarka we will do if it'll be Dov HaAved. And most of the time, you won't do malachas hakarka. The kusim didn't observe chalamayit at all. They would do all the malachas chalamayit the same as a regular weekday. So the Gemara says, if you rent your field to a kusi, you'll be in violation of the lift the evil of the sitting. If you hold that kusim agariyem, it's the kusim that they get. And non-Jews, you can rent, there's no problem. The Jewish, then it's lift the evil. Because the Jews are not allowed to do malachas chalamayit. So Tosfos has two opinions whether lift the evil applies to an aver de rabban. The one opinion Tosfos says, it must be that Malachas Chalamayit is deraisa, because otherwise how can you say Lifnei Iver L'Sitim Yichshon? It's only the Rabbanan, it's not Lifnei Iver. The Gemara says, Lo Masara Kosev Ela L'Chachomim, the Gemara Chagigim. So that doesn't mean that it's the Rabbanan, Lo Masara Kosev. In addition to the Yud Gimel Midrash, HaTorah Nidreshet Bam, there's another Midr. Whenever there's a Pasuk that's vague, so it's the Chachomim have the authority to be Kaveh, all the details of the halacha. Then the other opinion is no. The Masara Kasav al Chachamim means the rabbis have been right to invent dinim derabbanan. The whole Malachas Chalamayit is only derabbanan, and the din of Lifnei applies to dinim derabbanan also. So it's 2 days in Tosfos where the Malachas Chalamayit writes a derabbanan, is there a new concept of, on the level of the Raisi Lama Sarat Pasu Elalach HaChamim? And it's 2 days, whether this lives Neiver and an Aver the Rabban. So that's the Machloikas. Rabbi Kivega points out that at first Machloikas, the Mechaba and the Ramah, in the beginning of Hilchos Chalamoy, that the Mechaba writes that Malachas Chalamoy is only the Rabbanah. And the Ramah writes that it's the Raisa. So Rabbi Kivega writes there in the Ha'oris on Shulchan Aruch that in a later Simen, there's a machlokes, the Mechaba and the Ramah had a paskin in a case in the Gemara. The Gemara might cut and has all the dinim of Malachas Chalamoy. So the Gemara has an Ibaya and a certain issue. The Gemara says Teku. So what's the din when you have a Teku means we don't know the end. So what's the din when you have a Teku? The Teku says Teku on a din deraisa, Safik deraisa lechumra. Teku on a din Rabban and a Safik deraban lekul. So the Mechaba lishitasta, the Mechaba holds that Malachas Chalamoy is only the Rabbanan. So the Gemara has an Ibarbele of Shita regarding Malachas Chalamoy. The Gemara says Tekos, and the Mechaba says Lakula, because Safik Darabana Lakula, Teko and Darabana is Lakula. And the Ramah, the Shitas, who holds that Malachas Chalamoy is Daraisa, on that case, where the Mechaba Paskins Lakel said the Ramah Paskins Lachmer, because Malachas Chalamoy is Daraisa. So you say Safik Daraisa Lachumra. There is such another Gemara like that, where the Gemara seems to be assuming this idea that Achrayim used the lashon the darker tshuva. We have a din in the chumash, you're not allowed to go b'chukasem lo salechu. Darkei hu achrayim. So not everything that nachrim do is prohibited because of darkei hu achrayim. Let's say the nachrim have a practice that in the summertime they wear light clothing, summer clothes, and in the wintertime they wear winter clothing. Does that make sense? So that's not called chukasak, the chok is belitam. That's a good reason. So there's no isach. Or let's say French fries. So why do the French eat French fries? Because it's very tasty. Or southern fried chicken. Why do they eat southern fried chicken? Because it tastes good. So I do it for this. If it has a good reason, so it's not an isach chukasakum. If it doesn't have a reason, stop. They go with ties. So what does the tie represent? So wearing a tie is an issue of chukasakum. That's a shaila. Why are we allowed to wear ties? That you're allowed to wear a shirt, an undershirt, and a jacket to keep warm, to dress. That I understand. But what's the etiquette to wear a tie, sir? So it worked hard on that. He discussed it. Why shouldn't it be prohibited? Mitam chukasakum. Why? It's a chok belitam. So the achrayim have a lashon that who is going to decide what's included in darkei ha'amori and what's not? The Mishnah and Shabbos has it, the Tosefta and Shabbos. He elaborates more dinim. What is darkei ha'amori? What's not darkei ha'amori? So the achrayim have this lashon that the Gemara formulates with respect to Malachas Chalamoy. The achrayim, the Darkei Tshuva quotes it. They say lo masar kasev elach hachamim. The rabbanim in every generation have to be kaveh. What's included in chukas hakam? What's not included? And when we determine what is included, let's say they say tapakaymi. You take a haircut like a chleis the Hare Krishna chevra. So the Gemara says, you take a funny haircut, that normal people don't take a haircut like that. So the Gemara says, that's Darkei ha'amori. Is that an Issa deraisa or is that the Rabbana? So the Mishnah holds that, the Ramam holds that's an Issa deraisa. Because the Ramam holds, Torah Kosav Elal HaChamim, we use that expression. The Gemara never says it here, the Achrayim said. We use that expression. Ramam holds, that's one of the Midrash HaTorah Nidresh Hashem. The HaChamim have the right to determine what's included in Darkei ha'amori and what's not. So the Ramam says b'feirush that it's an isa deraisa, the person who's been stopped on time, because Mishnah is bothered with a kasha. The Gemara tells us, you're not allowed to take this kind of a fun haircut, misapa kaimi, but shall base Rebbe hitiru. Rebbe's relatives were involved in politics, and they had to go every month in a donishtik, they had to go travel to Rome to tumble there with the government. The Romans were ruling Eretz Yisrael at that time after the Churban HaBayis. So because they had to associate with the politicians and with the Nochrim and the Roman government, so the Chachamim permitted them to take a haircut like that so that their shtadlonis would work better. If you're dressed like the Goyim, so there's a better chance that they'll listen to you when you're pushing for Jewish causes. So the Kes Mishneh Esta Kasha. But if the Rama holds that it's an Issa deraisa, the Sapikan is loike, it's an Issa deraisa. So an Issa deraisa, you're only marked there if you have a sakana, a suffix sakana, because nefesh is doicha. anything less than Pikuach Nefesh shouldn't be Doichen. So how come it's Mutter Shal Beis Rebbe Hitir with a Sapekon? So Kesh Mishnah has two answers. So one answer he gives is that Tzorcha HaMedina are considered Safik Sakon. You have to be mishtabled by the Goyish government, and you stand a better chance of them listening to what you have to say. If you dress like them, so that's a lot of times that'll be a Safik Sakona. So that's Decha Kula, even though this Dark Memoria is an Issa Deraisa. That's one answer the Kesh Mishnah gives. Then he gives another answer that's problematic. He says, no, not that all Tzorcha HaMedina are Safik Sakona. No. But rather, since it's only Lama Sara HaKasabel Alacham, true, it's a Din Deraisa. But it's not Mufurish in the Pasik. It's only up to the Chachamim to determine what's included, what's not included. So they said it's included, but they made an exception to the rule. Hey Mamru, hey Mamru. Shall they shred the Itilus Apakar? So Bachana Vassman asks the second answer. Does it make any sense? It's Lamasar Kasrela Chachamim to determine what's included and what's not included. But once they decided that that kind of a haircut is a biblical violation of Chukas Akum, so what's the heter? Hey Mamru, hey Mamru means if it's only a Din de Rabban to begin with, so the Chachamim, even later Chachamim, have the right to bend a little bit. It's only the Rabbanan, so you don't have to wait till you have a Safek Takana to violate a Din de Rabban. There's a difference between a mitzvah and an Aveira. When it comes to observing a mitzvah, the din is amavazuz ayavazuz yaseh mechamish. You're not mechuyev to spend. That's how the Rama writes in Shulchan Aruch. You're not mechuyev to spend more than 1/5 of your total savings in order to fulfill a mitzvah. Let's say a fella gets stuck in Alaska or Hawaii on sukkahs and he doesn't have a lulav and esrei. He doesn't have a sukkah. The only way to get the sukkah lulav and esrei is to spend $20,000, and that's more than 1/5 of his total savings. So is he mechuyev to spend so much money that they should send them from America, they should send them a lulav and an esrei? So yes, mechamish, you're not mechuyev. The Gemara never says it. The Gemara says, when again, it's dope. I'm a vazru, zayi vazru, yes, mechamish, eme yayoni, it's tarach labrias. It does make sense to give tzedakah to the aniyim, and you'll become poor. Charity begins at home. You're not mechuyev to give so much away for tzedakah. But the Ramah quotes Rishonim who apply to all mitzvahs, not only to tzedakah. You're not mechuyev to spend more than 1/5 of your total savings in order to fulfill a mitzvah. When it comes to a loisei say, then the Ramah says, you have to give away kol hayim beiso, you have to spend your last penny in order not to violate the lav, up until the point of Safik Sakana. Sakana's Nefashim says, Deche is mutter l'chal Shabbos, mutter to violate Yisurim, unless it's Yehoreg Vayavar. But if it's any other Isa other than Yehoreg Vayavar, so you have to spend Kol HaMbeisa up until the point of creating a Safik Sakana. So there's a difference between an Essay and a Loises. So many Achrayim say that Din the Rabbanan, even if it's a Loises the Rabbanan, it does make sense that a lois essay der Rabbanan should be more chomer than an essay der Eisa. So maybe the limit on the Vazim Zayavazim is Eisim Mechaimish, you have to spend more than 1/5 of your total savings in order to fulfill a mitzvah essay. Maybe that's the same with respect to spending money to avoid violation of an Issa der Rabbanan. Maybe Issa der Rabbanan, the Pischei Tshuva has this shot. Maybe an Issa der Rabbanan can't be more chomer than an essay der Eisa. So that's, if you have Heimomra, the Heimomra, if something is only in the Issa d'Rabbanan, so you can understand that in a later generation, a later person can say, shall they still be Hitiru l'sapekandi? And for political reasons, if you have to rub shoulders with the Nochrim from the Roman government, and you stand a better chance of having your suggestions listened to, if you dress like them, so then that's like Hon Rav, the whole idea of Yasim Mechamish is you're not mechiv to spend Hon Rav. If it's only a Din Rabbanan also you're not mechiv to spend Hon Rav. So we would be makel. But Rabbi Chanan asks, according to the second suggestion of the Kesa Mishnah, that it's not that all Tzorcha HaMedina is considered a Safek Sakana. It's just that it's only Divrei Seferim. So what if it's Divrei Seferim? Divrei Seferim is a Din Deraisa. Islamasarakas Vela Chachamim is a concept deraisa. Kosov Kosov, it's a din deraisa. How come it's mutter if there's less than a sakana? You see that we use the expression Dibrei Seferim, the Rambam used the expression Dibrei Seferim. In the Rambam, the Rambam got it from the Gemara, from the Mishnayos. The expression appears in the Rambam very often on Dinim Derabbanan, very often on Dinim Deraisa that were developed by the Chachamim in the later generation, Dibrei Seferim. Dibrei Seferim means Dinim Derabbanan invented by the Chachamim, or Dinim Deraisa developed by the Chachamim, using the Yud Gimel Midos, or even if you have Halacha Moshe Mesinai, the Dinim Deraisa that were transmitted by the Chachamim. It's not explicit in the Chumash. Even if you have Halacha Moshe Mesinai, also it's also called the Rambam. It's also called sometimes Dibur Tovim. It's part of the Torah Shebal Peh. Dibur Tovim means Torah Shebal Peh. The Dinim that were either developed, invented by the Chachamim, or developed by reading it between the lines by the Chachamim, or transmitted by the Chachamim from generation to generation. And take, for example, the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Ishus writes there are three ways to get married. Either he quotes the opening Mishnah in Masechas Kiddushin, either Kesef or Shtar or Bia. So the Rambam says that Kiddushin Shtar or Kiddushin Bia are based on Torah Shebichtav. But Kiddushin Kesef is only Dibrei Sofim. So many misunderstood the Rambam that he meant that Kiddushin Kesef is only the Rabbanon. How can it be? About its deraisa. So he didn't mean to say that Kiddushi Kesef is the Rabbanon. So there's a long Kesef Mishnah there. So the guy's Mishnah explained the Rambam uses very often, he calls Dibrei Seferim, he calls it Din the Rabbanon. Dibrei Seferim, a din that was invented by the Chachamim. And every so often he'll refer to a Din deraisa that was established by the Chachamim by using the Midrash HaTorah and Rashi's pen. Because Kesef is not Mefurish in the Pasuk. Shtar is Kemat Mefurish. Makash Havai the Yitzhiya. Yitzhiya is only Bishtar, so Havai is also Bishtar. And Kiddushi Bia, Kikich and Shisha Baal is Kimat Mefurish and the Pasuk. So Kiddushi Bia and Kiddushi Shtar is Torah Shebichtav. And Kiddushi Kesef is considered Dibrei Seferim in the sense that it's Torah Shebal Peh. So the Rama calls that Dibrei Seferim. And then the Rambam writes, in the very beginning of Hilchos Ishus, the Rambam writes, and the meaning by all the Jews is that you mekadesh bekesef. Our meaning is we mekadesh shavikesef. We give a ring, shavikesef. That's Torah Shabbat on top of Torah Shabbat. What is the Rambam meaning? Kvanog kol Yisrael. The meaning by all the Jews. The Sefer Mishnah Torah is written for the Jews. Of course, he's talking about the Jews. What is he after? What he probably means is that's what the commentary says. He probably meant to say that by the Orthodox Jews, the meaning developed that Yom Kippur became. Because the Rambam lived in Egypt, and he was dealing with a lot of Karaites, and he had fights with them, and there were sections in the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah where it's an open polemic against the Karaites. So this also, there were three different groups of Karaites. There were Karaites from Europe, and from Asia, and from Africa, and each group has different shtick. And one of the things they all have in common is none of them have Kiddushi Kesef. They only have Kedusha Biyah or Kedusha Shtar, but they don't have Kedusha Kesef. So the Rambam writes, we call Israel, the Orthodox Jews have to practice the Kaddish B'Kesef to demonstrate that we subscribe to the Torah Shabbat Peh. Not like the Karaites who rejected the Torah Shabbat Peh, we subscribe to the Torah Shabbat Peh. We have every so often, we have such a practice that we do a mitzvah in a certain way to emphasize the fact that we follow the Torah Shabbat Peh. For example, a Bris Milah. The Rambam writes that you can perform the Bris Milah with a knife or with a scissors or with a sharp piece of glass, a broken piece of glass, or a blade of grass, anything that cuts, or a sharp stone or something. And then the Rambam writes, "Al Yisrael." The meaning by the Jews is that when they perform, as opposed to the Goyim don't do Bris Milah. Meaning by the Jews is that they use a knife. Why do they use a knife? I remember Amoel was once giving a demonstration 2-3 years ago. Amoel was giving a demonstration in the Kolo to improper practices by Bris Milah. He was complaining that a lot of Moelim don't do the Bris properly, and he was giving his opinion what's the proper way to do it. He was showing us, he had taken a video of a Moel who did a Bris Milah, and there was a little bit of skin that was hanging, so the Moel cut it with the knife. So he said, so the Moel in the video cut it with the knife. So this model who was showing us the video said he should have had a scissors. It would have made more sense if we would have had, why don't we use a scissors? If you're cutting around, you're cutting an orla, so why don't we put it like this and cut like that? Why don't you use a pair of scissors? So the answer is, the Svarim point this out, the answer is that the Karaites came up with a chiddush that you can only perform bris milah if you use the scissors. Because in Sefer Yoshua, it says that when they crossed over the Yarden and they went to Gilgal, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs Yeshua ben Nun, Shuv Malitz Meis Velshenis, you should do a bris milah again a second time. So what does it mean? How can you do a bris milah a second time? So the Gemara says that until the days of Yeshua ben Nun, the only
then there's no sound. In the sound, there was no sound.
So until the days of Yeshua ben Nun, they only did milah, they cut off the thick skin on the yavam.
What's this?
Can I ask everyone to mute themselves?
Good.
So the Gemara explains that until the days of Yeshua ben Nun, they only did milah. They only cut off the thick skin on the outside. And then for the days of Yeshua ben Nun, they had to do priya also. They had to either fold over or cut off the thin membrane that's the lower membrane. So the pasuk says, "Kach lecha charvos tzurim, shu molas bnei Yisrael shenis." How do you translate charvos tzurim? So the Karaites translate it, pshat, take two knives that cut one against the other. Scissors balance. Kach lecha charvos tzurim, take two knives that cut one against the other, and cut off the or hapriya. So the Karaim insisted, they had their own Torah Shabbat Peh, not that they rejected. They made up their own Torah Shabbat Peh. So they insisted the only way to properly fulfill the mitzvah of milah is by using a scissors. That's what the Rama means when he writes. You can use a knife, you can use a scissors, you can use a blade of grass if it's sharp enough, you can use a cut piece of glass, you can use a rock, a stone, whatever you use is good. But no, call Israel, the meaning by the Orthodox Jews as opposed to the Karaim is to use a knife. To dafke, go out of your way not to use the scissors, that it shouldn't look as if we hold like the Karaim. We don't want it to look like the Karaim. Shaloya, there's a Mishnah at the end of the second Perek in Chulin that says, Shaloya chake es aminim. You shouldn't imitate the way the Apikursim do things. They don't want to do a bismillah the way the Apikursim do. That's a famous Balamor also on Shabbos in the third Perek of Masechet Shabbos, that the dinim of Hachazara in Shehiyah. When is it permissible to leave food on top of the fire on Erev Shabbos with a blech, without a blech? When is it permissible to reheat food? Let's say you have fully cooked food in the refrigerator, you take it out, you want to reheat it. So the dinim are very complicated. The Baal HaMor has a different opinion from everybody else. So the Baal HaMor says, lest the person will say, Malona b'latzara azos, what am I need the whole headache for? I'll eat cold cuts. I'll take out the chicken from the refrigerator and eat it cold. I don't need hot. But after I get involved in Lozachan and Machlokes, the Baal HaMor says no, and he coined an expression that became famous because the Magen Avraham quotes it, that whoever doesn't eat Cham in Shabbos, whoever doesn't eat something warm on Shabbos, hot shalom, a hot cup of tea, or hot bowl of soup, tzoch b'dik achrov, you have to check, maybe he's an apikaris, maybe he's from the Kata Karoim, because the Karaites insisted, the Sebar Reish b'chol mashvasechem b'yayim haShabbos, you're not allowed to leave any lights on. You're not allowed to leave any fires on in the house. But Friday night, the food would still be warm because they warmed it up Erev Shabbos, and then they put up the fire and they covered it over with towels and sheets, so it'll still be warm. But Shabbos morning, it's impossible to have anything warm. So that's why the Baal HaMor writes, if a person doesn't eat Cham in B'Shabbos, Tzoch B'dika Achra, we have to check. Maybe he's from the Kata Karoim. So that's why we insist on Dafka having something warm on Shabbos. Same as many history books suggest, that bracha on hadlakas neiris on Erev Shabbos never says in the Gemara. So Tosfos quotes one opinion that when you light neiris on Erev Shabbos, you don't say a bracha, because the Gemara says in the beginning of the Amar Dikin, Shani Yomer, one of the Amarim says, Shani Yomer, hadlakas haner b'Shabbos chayvahi. What does that lashon chayva imply? So the Bahag is of the opinion, the Gemara says, Mayim Rishayim is a mitzvah, when you wash before bread, Mayim Rishayim is a mitzvah, Mayim Achrayim is a chayva. What's the contrast? So the Bahag says, Mayim Rishayim is a mitzvah, so you recite the Birchas HaMitzvah. Shekhar Rishayim is a mitzvah, so you say, well, I don't want to kill us at night. my machranim is a chayva, it's something they have to do, but it's not a mitzvah. So therefore, the connotation of chayva is something you have to do, but you don't recite a bracha, because it's not a birchas ha-mitzvah, because it's not a mitzvah. So this led, based on that bahag, that Loshan HaGemara is the beginning of Perek Kol HaBasim and Chulin. My machranim is a mitzvah, my machranim is a chayva. So based on that bahag that the Tesis quotes in the beginning of Kol HaBasar, there were Rishonim who said a Masechah Shabbos in Bama Madlikin, Shani Yoyma Hadlokas Haner, the Erev Shabbos is a Chayva, means something you have to do, but you don't recite a bracha on it. Why should it be different from all the other Hachonas that you do in preparation for Shabbos? You put up the cholent and you take a shower and you set the table and you vacuum the rug and so on and so forth, you get dressed, speak the Shabbos, make a lot of Hachonas for Shabbos. You don't say a bracha on anything else. Manashtana, why should you recite a bracha on the Hadlokas Haneris? So many, there was a group of Bali HaTesael that you don't say a bracha on Hadlokas Haner on Erev Shabbos. So then Tesis quotes, the Yerushalmi says you do say a bracha. So the later Achrayim said that we don't have such a Yerushalmi. So they think that sometimes Tesis uses the Lashon Yerushalmi means outside sources, something other than the Bavli. But it's not the Talmud Yerushalmi. Chuvas HaGainim from Eretz Yisrael. In the Chuvas HaGainim, it says that you say a bracha. So that's what some of the history books suggest, that the bracha was instituted in the days of the Gainim. In the days of the Gemara, there was no bracha. Because why should Hadlokas Haneris be different from all the other Hachanas, from vacuuming the rug, or taking a shower, or setting the table, or putting up the cholent and so on? And it's only in the days of the Gainim when they were fighting with the Karaites. So they said, not only are we permitted to light candles, we're going to say a bracha to emphasize that you're wrong, that we hold that it's a mitzvah. Every so often, there were communities where the only Chacham Avadia has this, and Achrenim from the 1300s have this. There were communities where they only said a bracha la'alik ne'er shal Shabbos. On Yom Tov, they didn't say a bracha. Because on Yom Tov, the Karaites also would have lights. On Yom Tov, they would also light to cook food. So they would also have lights on Yom Tov. But on Shabbos, that's what many say. So a lot of times, we do things in order to demonstrate that we subscribe to the Torah Shabbat Pesach. Getting back again, the Rambam has an expression, Divrei Sofrim. He will often use it. Most of the time it means that Din Derabbanan, that was invented by the rabbis. And sometimes Divrei Sofrim means Torah Shabbat Pesach, that was developed by the rabbis. And sometimes it even applies to a Din Halacha L'Moshe Misina that was transmitted by the rabbi. It wasn't even developed by the rabbi, not even invented by the rabbis. It was an older tradition. Take, for example, there's a Gemara, there's a Pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, that if you have an Eved K'naini, Eved K'naini is Yotze B'Shem B'Yayin, if you knock out a tooth or you knock out an eye. Then the Torah Shabbat Peh says not only Shem B'Yayin, if you knock out any one of the Choftal and Rosh Eivor, the 10 fingers and the 10 toes and the other 4. So the Tanaim had a machlokes when the Abaknain is Yotze B'Shem B'Yayin, does he need to get Shichur? Means this is caused because he knocked out Shem B'Yayin, the Odin is B'chiv to be M'shachrim by giving him a Shtar Shichur. Or do you say no? He goes to Bezdin, and Bezdin just paskens, the Pasuk says Nechumish, he goes free. There's no need for a Shtar Shichur. So the three opinions. So three different opinions in the days of the Tanaim. One opinion is, whenever you have Shem B'Yayin, you need a Shtar Shichur. This is caused to be M'shachrim, but you have to be M'shachrim. The other opinion is, no, he knocked out the Shem B'Yayin, he automatically goes free. The third opinion says, sometimes yes and sometimes no. If it's Shem B'Yayin, it's black and white in the Chumash, that's Divrei Torah. So that you don't need a Shtar Shichur. But Choftal and Rosh Eivorim, the other Rosh Eivorim, for that it's only Divrei Sofrim. So for that you do need a Shtar Shichur. Manzel Sameris, what do you mean because it's Divrei Sofrim? What does that mean? It's not the Rabbanon, it's a Din Daraisa. So what does it mean? So the Rashba on that Gemara, that's in Kiddushin, in the middle of the first parak, towards the end of the second half of the first parak. So the Rashba on the Gemara says, since the Hamayinam don't all know that Choftal and Rosh Eivorim are also included, the Hamayinam just know what it says in Chumash, Shen B'Yayin. So if you knock out any other Minat Torah, it's really all the same. You don't really need a Shtar Shichur, and then you have the Choftal and Rosh Eivorim, like you don't need for the Shem B'Yayin. But the Eved Kanaini may be Yotze L'Cheres Ayidei Rosh Eivorim, and then the Balabos will claim, what did he run away for? He belongs to me. So the Eved will tie it, but he knocked out one of the Rosh Eivorim. So the Hamaynamo think that the Odin is right. They had never heard of the din of Rosh Eivorim. They only know the Chumash Shem V'Yayin. So to make sure that there won't be any problem later, so the Chachamim recommended Midrabanan give him a shtar shichur so everybody will know that he's free. That's how the Rashba says. But other Rishonim do not learn that it's a recommendation Midrabanan to give him a shtar shichur that there shouldn't be any tainus later, that the Hamayna may not realize. They learn, no, there's a difference. Shem V'Yayin is Torah Shebichsav, and Chavtal Rosh Eivorim is Torah Shebalpeh. And there's a fundamental difference, even though they're both deraisa, a fundamental difference that Torah Shebichsav can affect the change in the Chepzen. And Torah Shebalpeh is only a din on the Gavra. That's the Gemara in the opening Gemara in the Maseches Nedarim. So the Gemara draws a distinction between a neder and a shvua. So the Gemara says a neder is an Isa Chepzen. I take a neder. That the potato chip should be also bachilo alai b'neder. So that's considered an isa chepsa, the thing is straight. If I take the shvua, I will not eat the potato chips, that's an isa gabra only. And the Ran and the Dorim, you don't have to read Gemara, just read the Ran. The Ran quotes the Gemara and the Rashi and the Tesis and the Rambam and the Ramban. People who learn the Dorim, just read the Ran. You don't need anything more. So the Ran on the Dorim develops this idea based on Yerushalmi, based on Gemaras. What if a person first took a shvua, he will not eat the potato chips. Then he takes a neder, he asks the potato chips be neder. So even though there's a rule, ein isa chal alisa, but a neder is chal on top of a shvua. Because when he took the shvua, it's only an isa gavra. So the chepze is muta. Just you took a shvua, you're not allowed to eat the potato chips. When you take a neder, you're adding an additional dimension of Issa which wasn't there before. A neder adds an Issa Chepza on top of the Issa Gavra. So that's Issa Chalal Issa because the second Issa is more inclusive than the first Issa. But if it would be the reverse, first the person took a neder, answering the potato chips. Then he takes a shvua, he will not eat potato chips. So shvua is not chal on top of a neder. Because when you have a neder, you have an Issa Chepza and an Issa Gavra. Then when you make a shvua, the shvua is only an Issa Gavra, so it's mamish an Issa Chalal Issa. The second Issa is already included in the first Issa. The Issa Neder was both an Issa Chetza and an Issa Gavra. So this is based on the Gemara. The Neder is an Issa Chetza and Shvua is an Issa Gavra. And a Neder can be Chal on top of the Shvua because you're adding a new dimension, an Issa Chetza on top of the Issa Gavra. Mashenik came the reverse. First you took a Neder and then you took a Shvua. The Shvua is not Chal on top of the Neder because the Neder has both. The Neder already has both the Issa Chetza and the Issa Gavra. So what's the din if I have a piece of ham, I have a piece of chazer, I have a piece of basar b'cholov, and I take a neder, I will not, asering the ham, ba'achila. So the Gemara says, neder is an isa chefs, and shvua is an isa gavr. What about all isari Torah? What about basar b'cholov, and trefis, and nevela? All isari Torah, are isari gavr, are isari chefs? Which is it? Is a neder chal on top of it or not? If all isari Torah, four macholos asus are only isa gavr, and then there will be chal on top of it. And if a leader, after taking a neder, will get tzvei mal malkus. Once because it's basar chalav, once because he took a neder not to eat it. But if you say all these Torah are only isuri gavra, then a neder will be chal, just like a neder is chal on top of the shvua. So that's 2 days in the Shuvas HaRashba. And the Mechaber quotes the 2 days in Hilchos Shvuas, Hilchos Nedarim. If the person takes a neder on top of the shvua, it is chal. If a person takes a neder on machalas asuras, yeshamim, yeshamim. It's a machlekes, whether isuri Torah, are isuri gavra only, or there isuri chepta as well. So here, some rishonim understood in the Gemara, the Eved Kanani is yotze b'shem v'yayin, that's Torah shebichsav, that's b'feirish and parshas mishpatim. So the Torah shebichsav has the ability to change the mitzias in the world. The fellow was an Eved, you knocked out a Shem V'Yayin, he automatically becomes a free man. The laws of the Torah can create a different Chepzah. He's no longer an Eved, he's a Ben Chur. But the Rosh Eivorim, Choptal, the Rosh Eivorim, in addition to the Shem V'Yayin, that's only Divrei Seferim, so it doesn't mean Midrabbanan, it means Minat Torah, it's Torah Shebalpeh. And it doesn't mean midrabbanan you need a shtashicha because the Amoinam may not understand why the Eved ran away. It's a din in a Torah. Why? Because Torah Shabbat Peh is only a din in Gavra. It's not really a din in Chefza. Torah Shabbichsav is stronger. Torah Shabbichsav can change the Chefza. He was an Eved and he just was Yotze Lecheris. The other Natsav Shem Yain, it's a Knas. So the Gemara says you have to go to a Bezin. There's no Knas without first going to a Bezin. Go to a Bezin. Bezin just paskins. He has the right to go free. He goes free automatically. Because the Dinah HaTorah Shabbichsav, Adinim and the Chefza changes the Mitzvahs. But Torah Shabbat Peh, the Rei Seferim, is only a din in the Gavra. It's not really a din in the Chefza. There's a famous Nesivus on Chodesh Mishpat and Hilchas Mekach Tois. Let's say I go to the store and I buy 10 pounds of flesh. And then I bring it home, I put it in the freezer, and then the butcher calls me up and he says, he made a mistake, it's treif of flesh. It's not kosher. They delivered by mistake, they delivered not kosher flesh. So I give them back the flesh and I get my money back. It's a mekach tos. What if I already cooked the flesh and I ate it? And I can't give them back the flesh. So it says in the Rambam quotes from the Tshuvas HaGvanim, even if I ate it already by mistake, it's not my fault. The butcher gave it to me, he thought that it was kosher. Even though I ate it and I can't give it back, I ate it and it sustained me and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the treifus. But the Rambam says, if it's treif min haTorah, then it's a mekach tos, and even though you can't return it because you ate it already, and it accomplished its job, it gave you nourishment, you can still get your money back because it's a mekach tos. But what if they ascertain that I bought this food, they ascertain it's only treif min derabbanan, it's only osa b'achila min derabbanan. So then the Rambam quotes the Gaonim, it's not a Gemara, he's quoting Tshuvas HaGaonim. If it's an Issa de Rabbanan, so if I didn't eat it yet, I give it back and I get my money back. It's a Mekach Tos. If I ate it already, then I don't get my money back. If it turns out to be an Issa de Raisa, the treif of food that he sold me is an Issa de Raisa, even if I ate it already and I can't give it back, I still get my money back because it was a Mekach Tos. But if it turns out that by mistake they saw me in only an Issa de Rabbanan, wasn't an Issa de Raisa, so if I ate it already, even though I can't give it back, I ate it already, so then if it's only an Issa de Rabbanan, then I don't get my money back. Why is there a difference whether it's an Issa de Raisa and Issa de Rabbanan? So that's what the Nesivus has a very famous explanation. He says apparently the Rambam is quoting the Gaonim here, the Rambam is saying that an Issa de Raisa is an Issa Chefza. The thing is a mekach tos. Like, I asked for potatoes and he sent me bananas. It's in Gansan the wrong thing. I asked for kosher food. He gave me treif of food. So treif of food is a mekach tos. It's a different chevtze. But if it turns out that it's treif from the Rabbanan, that's not an isa chevtze. That's an isa gavra. You're not supposed to eat it. But he already ate it, b'shegeg. So if you did an aver of the Rabbanan b'shegeg, there was no act of merit. So you didn't violate any Avera at all. You don't even have to do tshuva. That's the famous Nesivus. One violated an Issa de Rabbanan b'shegeg, since all Yisurim de Rabbanan are only Yisurim Gavra, and he didn't, Issa Gavra means not to rebel against the Ratzon of the Chachamim. Torah wants us to follow the Chachamim. I didn't rebel. I thought it was kosher. The butcher sent it to me. I thought it was kosher. So just like the Nesivus explains that Yisurim de Rabbanan are only Yisurim Chefza, are only Yisuri Gavra, but Yisurim Deraisa are Yisuri Chefze. So there's room to distinguish within the Deraisa Gufa. If it's Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebichsav is so powerful, it can change the Chefze. But if it's only Dibay Seifrim, so it can't change the Chefze. It's a din on the Gavra. The Odin has to be Meshach the Eved if he knocked out the Chof Dalet Rosh Eivar. If he knocked out Shem Yayin, it's not a din on the Gavra. The Chefze, the Eved goes free. Torah declares that changes the mitzvahs. He used to be an Eved, he goes free. But if it's only the other Rosh Eivarim, that's when the Torah Shabbat Peh. So Torah Shabbat Peh, Dibrei Seferim, can only have an effect on the Gavra. He's mechuyev to be Meshach the Eved. What he's obligated to do. But it's not that the Torah Shabbat Peh is like Dinim Derabbanan, that it can't change the Chefza. So that's perhaps what's involved in this Kesef Mishnah that we've mentioned before. The Mishnah, I guess Mishnah was bothered with the issue. How can, if according to the Rambam, I'm a sapekoimi, if you take such a haircut, I'm determined that this is Chukas Akum, this is Darkei HaMoiri. The Mishnah calls it Darkei HaMoiri. So once it's declared as Darkei HaMoiri, so how is a Mutter and anything less than a Pikuach Nefashis? How come Shalbeis Rebbe, he threw this out the country? Those Jews who had to go to Rome all the time and negotiate with the government and rub shoulders with the members of the Roman Parliament, with the government, so why are they allowed to dress up like the goyim? So if you say the first answer, the Keres Mishnah, all in Yonah Medina, in a certain sense, are suffix Sakanas Nefosh, they may be saving someone's life. Okay, that's the first answer. But then the second answer, the Keres Mishnah isn't saying like that. He's saying that it's not really a suffix Sakanas Nefosh, but since it's only La Masara Kas Vela Chachamim, so therefore you don't need a suffix Sakana to be Mekah. Why not? So you have to say something along these lines, that La Masara Kas Vela Chachamim is not Torah Shebichsav. It's the Raisa, what is the Beisofim, because La Masara Kas Vela Chachamim. The Chachamim are the ones who are determining what should be included and what not. So in order to be Mekel, it's like we said, in order to be Mekel on a Din de Rabbanan, maybe even an Issa de Rabbanan, you don't need suffix Sakana. And Issa de Rabbanan, maybe it's enough if you have Yeah, that's a shaila, how far you go. The Gemara has a machlokes in the end of the first perek in Kiddushin. There's a Mishnah that says all the agricultural mitzvahs only apply in Eretz Yisrael. Chayvus karka, mitzvah li ba'aretz, is chayvus karka, is ein ha'egesel ba'aretz, with a few exceptions to the rule. So the Mishnah says that chadosh is noig b'chutzlar, it's a machlokes hatanoim, whether it's deraisa derabbanan. And orla b'chutz l'aretz, if you plant the tree, so that if peiros grow the first 3 years, it's also b'achila and also b'anon. That's orla. So the Gemara has a machlokes amoraim. Orla b'chutz l'aretz, is that halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, or is that mehilchas medina? Maybe it's only mid'rabbanan. Because the Gemara says orla b'chutz l'aretz is mehalacha. So the question means mehalacha mehilchas medina, or mehalacha l'moshe m'Sinai, what is it? So the Gemara asks, if it's, we have Mishnayos and Orla that say that Safik Orla B'chutz L'aretz is Lekula. Safik Orla B'chutz L'aretz is Lekula. So the Gemara asks, Bishleim, if you hold that Orla B'chutz L'aretz is only Midrabbanan, so then we understand Safik Darabbanan Lekula. But if you hold like the other opinion, that's how most assume. That's how most Rishayim and Shulchan Aruch, we assume that Orla B'chutz L'aretz Halach HaMashim M'Sinai. So then it's a din daraisa. So why does Halacha say that Safik Orla B'chutz L'aretz is mutter? It should be Safik daraisa l'chumra. So the Gemara says, no, kach nemra Halacha. That's the way the Halacha was formulated, that vado asur in sveika mutter. So that's a big machlokes, a rishayim, the Rambam and the Ramban, what does that mean? So the Ramban understands, kach nemra Halacha means every other Safik Halacha L'moshe M'Sinai is l'chumra. Because Halacha L'moshe M'Sinai is a din daraisa. And Safik Deraisa is Lechumra. Only Orla, Kach Nemra Halacha, Safik Orla B'chutz L'aretz is Lekula. That's one of the package, that's one detail within the package tradition of Orla B'chutz L'aretz. And the Ramban in Hasagas on the Sefer HaMitzvahs, when the Rambam has the second Shoresh, when he says you don't include in the Minyan HaMitzvahs dinim that are only established based on the Midrash HaTorah Reshes Bahem. So the Ramban takes issue with the Rambam. What's wrong? Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Bahem, the Rav Dinim Deraisa. What's wrong? So the Ramban, when he's pouring out his anger against the Rambam, so he says, and the Rambam, he's of the opinion, the Safek Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai is Lekul, and he said, that's wrong. It's only Safek Orla B'chutz L'aretz says L'Hakam, not any other Safek Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. Where did the Rambam ever say that? That's what the Mefarshim asked. The Ramban is attacking the Rambam, that the Rambam holds every Safek Halacha L'moshe M'Sinai is Lekula. The Rambam is innocent. Where did he say this? He only quotes it by Safek Orla. So this is Sefer by one half in the 1700s. That's when the Jews started writing encyclopedias. So the Chidor wrote quite a few encyclopedias. He wrote an encyclopedia on Kabbalah, an encyclopedia on Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Bahem, a few encyclopedias. Each one is a different style. So the Yad Malachi was written at that time. So there's another sort of an encyclopedia called Ara de Rabbanan. He has alphabetically arranged issues in Halacha, where it's a question whether it's a din deraisa, din derabbanan. For example, asmachta lo kanya under the letter aleph. Oyesh brera ein brera, machlokes in the Gemara. So whenever there's a shaila whether something is deraisa, derabbanan, he'll quote all the sources. Is it deraisa, derabbanan? That's the name of the sefer. The author's name is one of the Al-Ghazi, members of the Al-Ghazi family. I think it was also from Italy in the 1700s. And the name of the sefer is Ara de Rabbanan, and the footnotes on the bottom of the page are called Afra de Ara. Footnotes at the bottom. It's all very valuable sefer. It's been reprinted since the 1700s. So he quotes, where is this Rambam that the Ramban is attacking? So he says, the Rambam in all places is in Hilchas Mikvos. The Rambam quotes the Mishnah in Mikvos, that a person is Togel in a mikveh, or Togel Kelim in a mikveh, Sofag Yeshbo Memso, Sofag Embo Memso. So the Mishnah says that you go to Chumrah, Sveka Tomei. Why? Because Memso is a din derais. That's what the Mepharshim say in the Mishnah. So the Rambam quotes that din, and the Rambam says, but even though the requirement for Memso is Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, Shurim Chatzitzin and Mchitzin is Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, and one might have thought, maybe the Rambam doesn't spell out what the question is. He doesn't say Yom Taimi, he just gives you the Yeshlema. So the implicit question is, one might have thought that a Safek Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai should be Lekula, just like Safek Boila B'chutzlarts is Lekula, so all Safek Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai is Lekula. So the Rambam says, this is a different kind of Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. This Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai is interpreting what the word mikveh means. When it says in the Chumash, Merochat says, Sara B'mayim, so the Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai is explaining what kind of mayim you need, mayim shekol gufa l'v'em b'v'asachas. But if you would have a different Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, the Rambam implies that it would be Lekula. That's the Rambam that the Ramban is attacking. So the Rambam is talking of the opinion that you don't always say Safik Deraisa L'Chumra. A Safik and Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, even Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai is a Din Deraisa. But a Safik Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, the Rambam seems to hold would be Lekula. Not all the dinim deraisa belong in the same category. They don't all belong in the same category. The Prima Godim has in his Psicha Kalelis, usually in the past before Shavuos, we do a lot from the Psicha Kalelis of the Prima Godim. He has a lot. It's a general introduction, not just to Arachayim, because of the Psicha Kalelis Arachayim. It's really a general introduction to all of Torah Sheba'al Peh. So he divides all of the mitzvahs sese, mitzvahs loy sese, dinim derabbanan, does it have an asmachta, does it not have an asmachta, two types of asmachta, asmachta chashuva, asmachta shena chashuva. And a lot of times we have a din hakala kal tchila. You have to figure out which is Muhammad and which. For example, he quotes, there's a Mishnah Nazir. A Nazir is not allowed to be metame even to design kroivim. He's only allowed to be metame to a meis mitzvah. Same thing, Kohen Gadol. Only allowed to be metame to a meis mitzvah, not permitted to be metame even to design grove. So what if a nozim and a Kohen Gadol are alone walking on a highway and they bump into a meis mitzvah? Nobody has a cell phone to call a chevra kadisha. And one of, you don't need both of them to bury the meis mitzvah. Only one of them has to be metame. So the din shadi hakala kal tchila. Whose iser is less chomer? Whenever you have to violate, let's say, for Pikuach Nefesh, you have to violate Shabbos, so you can either violate an Issa deraisa, violate an Issa derabbanan. Or let's say you have to eat some treif of food in order to stay alive. You're going to starve to death, so you have to eat some treif of food. So all the food is treif. So should you eat chelev, which has koris, or should you eat tevo, which is misa b'dei shamayim? So the Gemara says, koris is mocham, and then misa b'dei shamayim. Nisa B'dei Shamayim is Mohammed and just an Isa Lav. So in this instance, you have the Kohen Gadol and the Nozer are going down the highway. So which of the two, they both, the Isa Tum is the same on both of them. They're both not allowed to be Mitama even to the Zayn Krovim. They both are permitted to be Mitama to the Meis Mitzvah. Here there is a Meis Mitzvah. You only need one of them. So who should be Mitama? So the Mishnah has a Machlek, a Blazer, and a Chachamim. Which is the lesser of the two evils? So the Prima Godin quotes a Yerushalmi on that Mishnah, Yerushalmi and Nazir, that what if you have two Nazirim walking down the highway? One is a Nazir Stam, a Nazir Shloshim Yom, and one is a Nazir Olam. A Nazir Olam is a different story. It doesn't appear in Chumash. It's Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. guy's mekabel nazirus for the rest of his life, and the dinim are different from the regular nazir. And not only that is for the rest of his life, the details are different. So it's only known to Allah Moshe Mesinai. So the Yerushalmi says, if you have a nazir and a nazir oilam going down the highway and they bump into a meis mitzvah, the one who's based on Torah Shebechsav is Mochomer. The dinim of Torah Shebechsav are Mochomer than Allah Moshe Mesinai. Allah Moshe Mesinai has Divrei Sofrim, it's Torah Shebechsav. It's not that the Sofrim invented it, they didn't develop the din, they transmitted the din. They transmitted the din from the earlier generations. It's also called Divrei Sofrim. That's the Pin Megadim has a lot about that. The different categories of Dinam Daraisa, different levels of Dinam Daraisa, many different levels of Dinam Darabanan with a lot of details. With a lot of details. We have a din in the Gemara based on the Pasuk in Parshas Kisisa. So the Gemara understands Advarm Ha'ela is a miyut. I want you to write down only Torah Shebichsav. You shouldn't write down Torah Shebal Peh. Advarm Shebal Peh, you shouldn't write down. Ki Alpi Advarm Ha'ela, Alpi is a reference to Torah Shebal Peh. Alpi Advarm Ha'ela is another miyut. You should only say Bal Peh, Torah Shebal Peh. The Balkari shouldn't learn from the Sefer Torah Bal Peh. Advarm Shebal Peh should not be said. Should not be taught in Torah Chaksav, Dvarim Shebichsav should not be transmitted about them. So then the Gemara says in Tmura, in the later generations, they felt, Eslas Lashem, Eferet Eresech, they have no Breire. So the Hitiru, they allowed writing down of the Mishnayis, and years later they allowed, in the days of the Gaonim, they allowed writing down of the Talmud Bavli. So that's based on Eslas Lashem, Eferet Eresech. So there's a Rashi and Perek Haroya, the first Mishnah and the last Perek in Brachas, where Rashi, the Mishnah there, quotes the Pasuk, Eslas Lashem Eferet Eresecha, in connection with the Pasuk in Megillas Rus. That's, how does it say? Vayama Boaz Lakotzrim Bruchim Atem Lashem. When Boaz was passing by the workers on the farm, on the field, so he blessed them B'Shem Hashem. So he Tiru Lahotzi Shem Shaitz Motzi Shem Shaman Levatola. But he Tiru, they allowed to be Mevarech Aver B'Shem. Lishol b'shalom chaver b'shem, to mention Shem Hashem. So the Mishnah says, Eslas l'Hashem eferet eresecha. So Rashi writes on that Mishnah in the last perik, the first daf in the last perik in Haraya and Brachas, Eslas l'Hashem eferet eresecha, you're permitted to do dova hanira isa, something that looks like it's an isa, but it really isn't an isa. What do you mean it really isn't an isa? But the Gemara says, Dvarim shebal peh, I atara sholeh, I'm a metzav, you're not allowed to teach it mitoch atzav. And we teach Gemara mitoch haksav. We read it tonight. The whole shiur is Baal Peh. But usually we read the Gemara and we read Rashi, we read Tosaf, we read Rambam, we read Shulchan Aruch. We teach from a text. So we are outright in violation of the din deraisa of Dvarim Shebaal Peh Yatav Asheli Amim Biksav. You're not allowed to teach a mitoch haksav. So how can Rashi explain that Eslas Hashem Befer Teresach is only Dovah Anira Isa? Isn't it a real Isa? So the Rishonim say already. Rishonim say it's not an Isser. It means the mitzvah b'shlei Musa of transmitting Torah is only fulfilled if you transmit the Torah shebal peh bal peh. If you transmit it mitoch haksav, then it's going to be a lower level of Talmud Torah. If you transmit dvarim shebal peh bal peh, that's the mitzvah b'shlei Musa. But the Chachamim worded it dvarim shebal peh I atar ashoy. You shouldn't write it down. If you're going to write it down and teach from a text, it doesn't mean that you'll be over and over. You won't be mekayim the mitzvah b'shlein Musa. But the Chachamim saw, if they're not going to write down the Torah Shema, everything will be forgotten. They'll all be lost. So rather than be such a purist and insist that you have to still preserve the original way of transmitting Torah Shema only by Peh, and we'll be losing out, we'll forget a lot of Torah Shema Peh. So Itiru Dover Hanira Yisr. It's not really an Yisr. It looks like an Isa, just that it's a mitzvah, shalom b'shlei Musa. Let me just close. Unfortunately, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, and we can't be Oyla Regel. That's what we daven all the time in Musaf, and Shalosh Regalim, Shom Nalev, and Eroi, and Ishtachol, and Fenechem, Shalosh Pamei, Regalein, the Ban Shalom should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash and give us an opportunity to be Oyla Regel. So around 100 years ago, there was an Ungarish Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Akiva Schlesinger. He was the son-in-law of a Hungarian tzaddik who lived in Hungary. Pilol Kalamaya, he was from the city Kalamaya. His name is Lichtenstein, Adil Lichtenstein. So they were from the Chassidim, from the followers of the Chassam Sofer. So the so this Rabbi Kiddush Leisinger, he was the one who decided that you're in Yerushalayim, you're allowed to blow shofar from Rosh Hashanah Cholias to Shabbos. There was a big machlokes. Many Rabbanim in Europe were annoyed in there. So the Gansa machlokes. He was he had a lot of original opinions a couple of years ago, around 20 years ago. They printed, I think, for manuscript, two volumes collected tshuvas that he wrote. Very nice tshuvas, nothing razzle dazzle. Very nice tshuvas. So he had an original chiddush that the Gemara treats the pasuk Shalosh Pama Shana Yeroeh Kol Zilchurcha. The word Yeroeh is if it were a Korean exiv. That's the way you spell Yeroeh. But the Gemara treats it as if it's a Korean exiv. It says Yireh, and we read it Yeroeh. So what's the din when there's a conflict between the Kri and the Ksiv? So there's a machlokes hatanoim, whether you paskan like the Kri or you paskan like the Ksiv. You say, Yeshem la mikra, you paskan like the Kri, or Yeshem la masaris, you paskan halacha lemaisa, like the Masoretic text, like the Ksiv. So Tosfos writes in Sanhedrin, Dav Dalet, there's a whole Dav Gemara, Amud Aleph from the base, about this machlokes, Yeshem la mikra, Yeshem la masaris. Other Masechtos also has a lot about it. So Tosfos writes, whenever it's possible to formulate the halacha by combining both together, both the Kri and the Ksiv, that's the best. All the Tanaim agree, you should formulate the halacha by combining the Kri and the Ksiv. If it's either the Ksiv or the Kri, if you have no choice, then you have a machlokes, whether you follow the Ksiv or you follow the Kri. But whenever you can formulate the halacha by combining, well, you do like that. So take, for example, it says, Chiyuta Mayim Al Zera. So that's a Kri and a Ksiv, because it doesn't say Yutan Yud Vav Tav Nun. It's a Yutan Yud Tav Nun. So the Ksiv is Yitain, and the Kri is Yutan. So the Chachamim, the Gemara has an Elu Metzias. So the Chachamim established the din, Yutan Dumyad Yitain. My Yitain, the Nichalei, Af Yutan, the Nichalei. Hechshe Mashkem is even if it rains, if they have a bushel of apples and it rains on it, that's Yutan. No one poured it be a dime, it rained on it. But if it's Nichalei, so if it's Yutan Dumi the Nitain, then it's Ruchsha Lekabel Tum, and the apples will be Roy Lekabel Tum. So the same over here, the Pasuk says, Shalosh Pam Hashana, Yeroe Kol Zchurcha, the Ksiv is Yire, and the Kri is Yeroe. So the Gemara Darshan is Yire Yeroe. Kederach, just like the Rebbeinu Shel Olam comes to see us B'shtei Einayim, he comes to look at us when we visit the Azara. The Baruch Hashem comes to look at us with both eyes, so that we should come to see the Shechinah with both eyes. So, Sum Bein Achas is Potem and Ariya. That's what the Gemara said, the first Daf in Chagiga. A person who's blind in one eye, so he can't see the Shechinah with both eyes, so he's Potem. So, what are you supposed to see? What do you mean? You come to see the Shechinah? Yireh. The Shechinah is invisible. There's no Gila Shechinah in the Hazara. What do you mean you come to see? So, there's the Chemed. Used to correspond. This Nechemed was a Sephardi who was born in Eretz Yisrael in Hebron, and then he took a Rabbanus in Uzbekistan or something like that, somewhere in Hori Choshech, and they had different Minhagim there that he never heard of. So he used to correspond with all the Rabbanim in Europe to be Mevarad the Minhagim, and he wrote so much till he wrote a whole encyclopedia, and then he arranged everything alphabetically. So he has a letter from Shlomo Levin. He has very rich. He has a lot of letters that don't appear anywhere else. From the Netziv, from Rabbi Falvaloshina, very fascinating. So he has a letter from Shlomo Levin on this. What do you mean, Yireh? What do you come to see? So Shlomo Levin quotes the Gemara, the last daf in Chagiga, says that when the Oyle Migolim used to come in the Bais Rishon, they used to roll up the paroiches, the curtain of the paroiches, to show the kruvim hugging each other. The pasuk says, "Kimar in Dibrayom." The pasuk says, "Kruvim hugging each other, kimar ish biliv yosai," like a husband hugs his wife, to show ruchi baschem lefnei hamakam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you. Then they would also have a practice. They would pick up the shulchan and squeeze the lechem upon him to demonstrate it was lechem cham ki yom hilokchai, that it was a miracle. They baked the lechem upon him on Friday, they put it on the shulchan on Shabbos, and it sat there a whole week, and it didn't get stale. So they would lift up the shulchan and show the other begolim, Ruchi Baschal, the Fiyam Akim, HaKadosh Baruch is making miracles. So Shlomo Nadalna says, where did they get this wild idea to show and tell? They should demonstrate the kruvim hugging each other, and they should demonstrate the lechem upon him on the shulchan that it didn't get stale. So he said, that's the kiyum of Yira Yeraya. We come to be seen by the Rabbanu Shalom B'Shtei Enam. We come to see him. You can't see him. He's a kel mistata, but his Baruch Hu hides. But we can see the kruvim, which represent the Shechina B'nai Yisro, and we can see the nisim, the nest, that the lechem upon him is still fresh. So that's Rabbi Shlomo of Vilna, something like that. So this Rabbi Akiva Schlesinger came up with a new mitzvah. He said, Yiret, we should come to see the floor of the Azar. So even though we can't walk there, the Arabs won't let us walk, but we should climb up on top of the rooftop of Yeshiva HaKotel, or it used to climb up before Yeshiva HaKotel was built. So they used to have Yeshiva Parat Yosef. So you climb up to the rooftop of Parat Yosef, and you'll see the floor of the Azara. What are you going to see? Arab children playing soccer, or merchants selling merchandise over there. The Arabs are over there. There's nothing special going on. So he held that that's the way to fulfill the mitzvah. Moshe Pshat is that that's absolutely not correct. Moshe Pshat, the Ro'el Kol Zchuch means you have to visit the Azara. Not that you should stand outside of the Azara because we're all Tommy, can't walk in the Azara. You should stand outside and look at the floor. What do you gain by looking at the floor? You want to see something. So look at the Shulchan, at the Lechem Aponim, look at the Kruvim hugging each other, but just to look at the floor, you don't see anything. But that was his Chiddush. That everybody, Bizman Hazeh, has an obligation. He understood it as Pshat and the Chumash. Everybody has an obligation to go to the Ir Atika and look at the floor of the Azara. Then he used to wear glasses. The Adishayla, Ayyayotze, this new mitzvah that he just invented, the 614th mitzvah, we always thought the 613, he just invented a new one. You have to look at the floor. Ayyayotze, the mitzvah, if you look through your glasses, he's not sure. So I said, he said, you got to take off your glasses when you look at the floor. We should all be zeicher to celebrate, maybe this Shavuos, maybe next Shavuos, whenever. We should celebrate Mi'ola Regal and fulfill all the mitzvahs properly. A good Neander to everybody.
Thank you.
Have a good Yom Tov.
Thank you. Thank you. A good Yom Tov.
Next week we'll go back to regular Gemara.
Okay, very good.
Good Rabbi.
Sure.
Good Rabbi.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Next week we'll be looking for regular Gemara next.
Excuse me, Rav Schachter. Rav Schachter.
It would appear he left.